All right. Thanks, Nedra. I'm going to talk specifically about data sources that our Center of Excellence identified and reviewed to determine potential use in a public health workforce enumeration. I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. Just a brief introduction to our Center of Excellence, in case you're not familiar with our center. We've been operational since 2009. We're funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Health Resources and Services Administration through a cooperative agreement with the Public Health Foundation. We also receive funding from the Kresge Foundation and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And we're the sister center to the University of Kentucky Center of Excellence in Public Health Workforce Research and Policy, which you will hear from next. In terms of our current projects, in addition to the enumeration project that Nedra and Mayrin just discussed, we've also been working closely with national professional associations in terms of characterizing their workforces and helping them with their workforce surveys. So we've worked with the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists on their last few epi-capacity assessments, and we're also working with the Association of Public Health Laboratories on their first ever National Laboratory Workforce Capacity Assessment, which data collection on that just wrapped within the last few weeks, so we're going to start analysis soon. And the Kresge Foundation has funded a two-year project to characterize and assess the maternal and child health workforce in Detroit, so we're in the process of working on that as well. The first task we really had with this enumeration project was to come to consensus on who we were talking about when we said the public health workforce. Cynthia is going to go into detail on how we developed this case definition. So for now, I'll just let you know that for this particular project, our case definition for the public health workforce included individuals providing essential public health services who were employed in state, territorial, and local health departments, federal agencies that had a clear mandate to provide public health services, and governmental agencies that were not necessarily public health agencies, but had workers who were providing public health services such as environmental health or laboratory services. We identified data sources that enumerated workers employed in these venues and organized these workers into 15 occupational classifications modeled after those used in these surveys that are conducted by the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials and the National Association of County and City Health Officials. These are those 15 job classifications, and we'll come back to those. In terms of methods for our piece of the project, we gathered workforce information from websites, from peer-reviewed literature, from technical reports, and in some cases we had raw data sets provided to us from associations who had conducted workforce surveys or from publicly available workforce data sources, such as those available through the Bureau of Labor Statistics or Office of Personnel Management. In total, we looked at 15 data sources that we reviewed and evaluated. At the end of our project year in September, we provided CDC and HRSA with a report that summarized the data collection methods for each of these sources. We listed useful features of each data source relative to their use in future public health enumeration studies versus the limitations of the data. And we also looked at four data source indicators: validity, which we looked at the extent to which the data source accurately enumerated the public health workforce; reliability, or the extent to which the data source provides consistent measures of the public health workforce over time; accessibility, frequency, how often the data are collected; and accessibility, were the data publicly available, were data use agreements required, or were they really restricted for internal use only, which would make them much more difficult to use in routine monitoring. We then categorized the data sources as either being ready for immediate use in a public health enumeration study, having potential for future use, but perhaps the data that they're providing need to be refined, or we need to do a little more research on the data collection methods or data analysis methods being used, or not recommended for use. These are the 15 data sources that we reviewed. I'll start at the end here with 14 and 15, and shaded with the purple background there. The Association of State and Territorial Dental Directors data, we felt like we could find those that information in other data sources. And we also ruled out membership lists just for the fact that having a membership in an organization doesn't necessarily imply that you're an active member of the public health workforce. So we ruled those out as being sources for an enumeration project. The first four sources, shaded in the kind of light green there, are those that we really consider to be the anchor of a public health enumeration study, keeping our case definition in mind. So ASTO and NACHO profile survey data, Office of Personnel Management federal employment statistics, and agency level personnel data, such as CDC's own internal personnel data source. On the surface, you would look at this and say, okay, we have state health department, local health department, and federal workforce, ta-da, public health enumeration. But unfortunately, it hasn't been quite that easy, of course. So we looked at supplemental data sources to help provide both validation for the survey data we were finding from these sources and to fill in some of the gaps that weren't covered with those first four. Those are the sources shaded in gray there, 5 through 13. Those are all sources that we looked at that we feel like have some value in thinking about an enumeration project. In the interest of time, I just want to highlight a couple of them. The most important one probably being number 5, the Bureau of Labor Statistics Occupational Employment Statistics. There's been a lot of buzz about BLS data relative to public health workforce research lately. BLS is a great resource. They collect a lot of information on occupational statistics for workers who are not self-employed in the United States. And they use industry codes that are somewhat broad in terms of our case definition. They do provide estimates of workers in federal, state, and local government, but we can't refine that down to tell how many of those people are coming in health departments or employed in health departments specifically. They also use standard occupational classifications, and there are hundreds of these, and unfortunately very few are specific to the public health workforce. So while BLS provides a promising potential data source, right now there's a lot of work that needs to be done to try to refine the estimates that BLS gives us to be more relevant to the public health workforce. The other one I'll point out quickly because it's a little bit unique is number 11, the Association of Schools of Public Health annual data report. This data source actually covers public health students and faculty, and you did not see them on our case definition. It was discussed at length as to whether to include them in this first phase of the project or not. We went ahead and took a look at this anyway, just acknowledging that even though they weren't included in the case definition, certainly schools of public health play a very important role in educating the future public health workforce and employing faculty who contribute to public health practice. So even though they weren't in the case definition, we did look at the data source and did provide some information to CDC and HRSA on that. So this is a table that we generated that sort of summarizes all of the enumeration information captured by 9 of those 15 data sources, and there are handouts on that table if this is difficult to see. Across the top there, we have the data sources listed, as well as the industry that they cover, federal, state, or local. In the case of ACPM on the end there, American College of Preventive Medicine, that was 2007 testimony where they discussed the supply of public health and preventive medicine physicians in the United States, and that estimate is actually for federal, state, and local. But I think you can kind of see as we started to look at these numbers and compare them, it raised as many questions as it gave us answers because we found a lot of variation in the estimates. Certainly, if you're looking at something like that first row of administrative or clerical personnel, BLS is giving us huge numbers because it's looking at workers who are in standard occupational classifications that range from secretary to accountant, and it's looking across the whole government workforce, not specifically public health. So we would expect those numbers to be very large relative to some of the other data sources that we have listed here. One particular occupation that we've looked at our center in depth is epidemiologist. Epidemiologist is one of the few public health professions that has its own standard occupational classification in BLS. So BLS actually will tell you how many epidemiologists they have collected data for. But as you can see right away, there are still some problems with this. We have a zero for federal epidemiologists, right? And, you know, there are federal epidemiologists in this room, and certainly we want them to be counted. So even though BLS is generating data, epidemiologists are somewhere within an SOC. We're just not sure where yet. So in the upcoming project here, that's something that we need to look at. But then you can start kind of comparing BLS data, for example, state within the state category for epidemiologists, and comparing that to 2010 ASTO data for epidemiologists and 2009 CSTE data for epidemiologists. You know, there's a little variation there, as well as for local epidemiologists listed for BLS and for NACHO. So I think one thing that we certainly learned out of this project is we need to spend a little more time trying to reconcile these numbers, and certainly this has something to do with how the data are collected, the definitions that are used when collecting the data, so who is considered an epidemiologist in these different data sources. So that's an ongoing project that we look forward to continuing. The other piece I wanted to draw your attention to with this table is this last row of other public health professionals / uncategorized workers. So this includes workers that either aren't in one of these other 14 case definition occupations, or perhaps are uncategorized due to missing data. That's a pretty big number on the bottom there. So over the next year, we really want to try to flesh out who these folks are, what kind of functions they're performing, what their job titles are. So challenges and limitations of the project. There was, in some cases, a lack of definitions or descriptions of job functions for some titles, which made grouping the job titles into these 15 classifications somewhat difficult. In some cases, the surveys, the instruments themselves, would provide definitions or information about the different job categories that they were collecting data for. In some cases, we were simply looking at occupational codes or job titles and making our best guess on where they fit. Federal occupational classifications did not group well within these case definition occupations. It was very difficult to take the federal classification system and try to map that to the case definition occupations. So we're going to work on that this year. Occupational classifications may not necessarily reflect job functions. So typically, these surveys are going to be filled out by someone in HR who's going to pull up job titles and tell you how many people are listed in that job title. So if, for example, you have a public health nurse who is their job title, who's providing really epidemiology services as part of their daily job, they'll be listed in public health nurse and not epidemiologist. So it's important to keep in mind that these numbers are a starting place, but the job functions represented by the people in these numbers may be different. See, I already mentioned the substantial proportion of workers and kind of the other category that we'd like to better refine. The varied data collection methods made comparison of survey data somewhat difficult. So you have various data sources, various surveys, and all are collecting the data a little bit differently. The national data sources, such as the Bureau of Labor Statistics, lack the specificity required to disaggregate public health workers from the publicly available data. So hopefully we can find ways to better utilize BLS data. And really, enumeration is only addressing the number of workers. We're really at the stage of talking about headcounts here, but really, eventually, what we'd like to know about are workforce characteristics. And those data are a little harder to come by. So another project for the upcoming year, along with the University of Kentucky, to try to figure out how to better integrate these sources and take it to the next step of workforce characteristics. In terms of next steps, our center starts another project tomorrow, funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, to enumerate and characterize the public health nursing workforce. So hopefully the data that we collect from that project will help inform this project as well. And we plan to work closely with other workforce researchers and public health professional organizations on a variety of issues that will help move this project along, and Cynthia will talk more about that. This is our contact information. One or two questions? Sure.
Thank you.
As part of the case definition, you mean? Is that something that you're going to cover, Cynthia, that discussion? If not, I can cover right now. There was actually a lot of discussion about whether to include researchers and others in schools of public health. Essentially, it came down to trying to wrap around a group that we felt like we could really do a good job with, that we knew we had data for, that we could be very comprehensive in our methods in trying to research the data sources. So we limited it to government for this time. Certainly, we acknowledge that researchers are very important, and there were strong feelings about keeping them in. But to make the project manageable for a one-year project, we stopped it at governmental only. For public health dentists, which are you talking about? Employed in government, or just in general? Yeah. No. Now there are a few sources that do enumerate public health dentists. One would be ASTO does include public health dentists in their profile survey. Past that, we did not find a source that continuously collects public health dentist workforce information. As I mentioned, the Association of State and Territorial Dental Directors did do a survey. I don't recall the year, but essentially it was a survey of the state public health dental directors and asking whether they had a public health degree or not. That was really the as far as that survey went, and we kind of felt like that those folks were captured in ASTO data. Past that, we haven't seen much. They're probably in BLS somewhere. We just have to find them.
And also, in the federal workforce, there are public health dentists as well.
Right.
So we should be able to categorize them as well.
And through OPM, right.